Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Just after 11 o'clock, this is the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Connor McKnight and Barry Rosner filling in for Dan. It is nothing like high noon. It is nothing like the second half. It is the midday midway. We've been talking about a number of things so far this morning. First among them, Loyola's improbable run to the Final Four. What it is to root for that story, what that story is and isn't. Talked a little bit about the other teams involved in that Final Four, Leonard Hamilton's Florida State team bowing out against Michigan. We talked with Chris Weber, who has covered the tournament for Turner Sports, focusing very specifically on the Loyola Ramblers, not so much on other things, but very specifically on Loyola. Nice to have him talk a little hoop with us.
Was it?
We talked with Bill Brink as well. Nice to have him on with us talking about the Pirates, but unfortunately the Pirates story has been a rough one to write the last 2 years. You want to talk about any of that with us? We got space for your phone calls coming up, but the Midday Midway is full of a couple of stories that perhaps you missed and perhaps you need to laugh at. Barry, what you got?
Well, hold your breath, Connor McKnight. Don't hold your breath.
Okay, thank
Connor
you.
Connor McKnight. But it appears as though the NFL Competition Committee is going to give us a new catch rule.
Oh, thank God. This will be the one that's clear, concise, and easily applied.
No.
Oh, damn.
No, it won't. But it might be a little bit better than it used to be. No, it's never going to be like what it was, which was you see what a catch is, you know what a catch is, that's a catch.
We've all made catches before in our lives.
I've seen a catch, that's a catch. I've seen what a catch isn't, and that's not a catch. It will be now more along the lines of Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant, which was a catch, which should have been a touchdown, should have maybe eventually gotten the Cowboys to the Super Bowl, and instead was ruled incomplete because in some parallel universe, the NFL doesn't think that that's somehow a catch. It's just insane. That will now be a catch.
Thank God.
If you have control 2 feet down or a body part down and a football move, I don't know what's going to be a football
Define
move.
Right? But
that Dez Bryant play is now a catch.
But it's not a catch now. It's not retroactively being made a catch. It just should have been a catch. They're admitting the error of their ways and helping to explain it some with three steps.
Well, that's not clear according to this story, whether retroactively you can make that a catch. That's not definitive. But that play will now be a catch, I think. Because
Because
they're gonna approve that. So that's good news. The Eagles play that was a touchdown in the Super Bowl that wasn't a catch in the Pittsburgh game 2 weeks before that when it was the exact same play
is now a catch.
They'll both be catches now.
Perfect. Wonderful. I have some stupid for you.
Are we clear?
I have more stupid for you. Clear. Are you ready? This from the AP. Hey Giants fans, and you always know when a story from the AP starts with something as colloquial as, hey, Giants fans, okay, and it's going to be consumed with smart, it's going to cost you to motor up to the Coliseum. The Oakland Athletics announced on Saturday a playful pricing plan for parking, tortured writing aside, at their stadium for games against the Bay Bridge rivals. A's season ticket holders can get prepaid parking. Giants fans, though, will be charged $50 for parking. That's five times as much, unless they say to the parking attendant on their way in, go A's. It brings to mind the Nashville Predators trying to keep Blackhawk fans out of their building. during the play, really at any time,
It's even dumber than that,
It's really.
Nashville actually tried.
Really dumb.
I have a feeling that this isn't going to work.
The Athletics host the Giants in exhibition game on Sunday in a three-game series July 20th to the 22nd and are hoping and praying for Giants fans to scream Go A's so they don't have to pay $50. Instead, they'll pay $30 for parking. Listen, the A's need all the cash they can get to try and build a new stadium that's not literally crumbling apart. It's literally, actually sinking into a swamp. God willing, this will be it.
I wrote about Patrick Sharp over the weekend as this,
I saw this.
Is almost certainly the end for him. And I think it should be noted that this is one of the best playoff performers in the history of the franchise. He's going to go down as, in Blackhawk history, as sixth in playoff goals, behind only Bobby Hull, Dennis Savard, Stan Mikita, Patrick Kane, and Steve Larmer. Eighth in playoff points, eighth in playoff games played. In the 3 years in which they won rings, he had 53 points in 68 games, third only behind Kane and Taves. There are moments, though, that I remember, like Game 6 against Philadelphia in 2010 when he was on the ice for all four Blackhawks goals, when he was a +3, best on the team that night, when he forced the bad pass that created the Kane overtime goal after the pass from Brian Campbell, that he scored a goal in that game, 4-on-4, that he created... he was a part of creating the other two goals as well. He was incredibly fast. He would fight for his teammates. He would hit. I just think he's among that magnificent seven of the seven guys who are on all three cups. I think he's really underappreciated and often forgotten. And I go into much more detail in this column over the weekend, but I think he's a guy that deserves more credit than he's gotten, and deserves a nice send-off.
Whenever I think back to Patrick Sharp in those years, I go back to that first, I believe it was the first Cup season. Remember, they're down 5 against the Calgary Flames at the United Center. They come back with 6.
That was a regular season game.
And it seemed, I don't know, they've been in a bit of a slump. They're trying to figure some things out. They go down 5 in their own building against the Flames, who were at that time a pretty damn good hockey team. Patrick Sharp had, I think it was like the 2 assists and a goal to start bringing things back, and just a remarkable comeback. I'll never get that one out of my head, and I, like you, think that he's absolutely one of the top dudes.
Yeah, I mean, he was also he also finishes in franchise history among the leaders all-time top 10 in power play goals, in shorthanded goals, in game-winning goals. Joel Quenneville talks about him. You could put him anywhere, anytime, at any position, in any situation, and he would get it done. Just a really nice player who probably doesn't get enough credit.
Barry, it's always a scary situation when there's a home invasion going on, right? If you have a house broken into, I hope to God that you've never had to have a situation like that.
But I had my apartment broken into when I was living in the city.
I've certainly bolted up in the middle of the night thinking that was going to happen.
It's a good thing I really didn't have much. I wasn't home, and they stole what they could, but I really didn't have anything.
I've always loved it when my insurance is like, well, you should get renter's insurance. And I go, for what? For what? I mean, my bike's outside. There's nothing. There's nothing anybody in here wants.
The guy, I think, left $20 on the couch because he felt bad.
The most disappointed person in a home invasion in my situation will be the guy breaking into the house. It's like, what the hell is here? There's nothing. Even the scotch is half empty. I don't even want this. But it is always a scary moment. And on Good Morning America, and this was what? Was this morning or yesterday morning, Rick? On Good Morning America.
One of those.
We were brought some of the finest, craziest, and insane audio that I've ever... This is a man describing his reaction to a home invasion on Good Morning America.
Dave Rowe knows all too well how it feels to have his home broken into.
Yeah, and see, that's what the problem was. Because I heard him first. I said, hold on. I said, hold up. Wait a minute. Something ain't right. Because then I start to taste him. I said, and then I start to smell him. So it's like a smell that tastes like... So I knew something was wrong. I knew something special about it, you know? So
what did you do when you heard the intruder?
I ran upstairs. I had to run. And I had to do what that little girl, what's that little girl in the Holocaust? She had Anne Hathaway, Frank and Beverly. Anne Frank, that's a hiding bitch, ain't it? I had to get up the stairs. So he had so much rhythm when he was walking up the stairs that doom, doom, doom. Bitch, I started to almost beatbox up in the closet. Oh, boom, 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 boom. But I couldn't do it yet because I couldn't die. I got caught tomorrow. So I'm just a little shook up. That's all that is.
That is all in one, an audition tape. A terrifying recap of a horrible incident. A brutalization of history. It's completely Frankenberry, I think, in the middle of trying to remember who that was. I don't know how you can bury.
Close.
I don't
That's
know if
close.
You can taste anything. Okay. All right.
Well, I just love that.
It's fantastic.
I just love that after all of it, I can't die tomorrow because I got court.
I got things to do. I got a schedule. You know, I got to keep it. I have to be in places.
That's all that is.
That is the midway. And we are so happy to have brought it to you. When we come back, a little bit more baseball. I want to get into some, too. You mentioned the NFL catch rule, what it is, what it isn't, what it shall be, what it was.
Dez Bryant can sleep tonight knowing that is now a catch.
There may be a bit more of a horse to kick on that one, and we'll do it next. He's Barry Rosner. I'm Connor McKnight. 670 The Score.
I got caught tomorrow.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back to the Bernstein and McKnight Show. I'm Connor McKnight. He is Barry Rosner filling in for Dan. Dan is busy sunning himself in Italy.
I won't be here tomorrow, by the way.
I assume the sun is it. No, you won't be here?
I got court tomorrow.
Oh, you got court tomorrow. Oh, right. See, we should have checked your schedule. You can't die today. You have court tomorrow.
Well, the choice between being here with you and
dying.
Dying.
Or court.
Wow. What among those is good?
Should we get you a coin? Might as well decide it that way.
You got a three-sided coin? A coin, court, death, you.
This from the 224. Can you please tweet the clip from the Good Morning America interview? I can't find it online. I'm in desperate need of listening to it again. Yeah, we'll do that for you. At Bernstein_MCK. We will tweet that link. You may enjoy it at your leisure. But rest assured that it will be chopped, it will be played, and it will be enjoyed here on the show because that is... it's compelling television. Segment brought to you by Fogo de Chão. Taste the difference of skilled gaucho chefs at Fogo de Chão Brazilian Steakhouse, where every cut is expertly prepared.
What? He's reading a...
But he said to taste something, and that was the sound of the guy tasting.
I am trying to tell you about Fogo de Chão's Brazilian Steakhouse, where every cut is expertly prepared.
Which is wonderful.
It's fantastic. Meat on a sword. Oh. It's meat on a sword. How do you not...
I know you're a meat guy.
And I love swords. Reserve today in Chicago, Rosemont, and Naperville at Fogo.com. Started to taste them whenever he came indoors. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. It's fantastic. It's wonderful. The NFL, I thought, we did this in the midday at Midway. I thought there might be a little meat left on the bone, or perhaps it is just the dead horse that will continue to kick. We were talking about this with Danny Parkins in transition. I think it was on Thursday or something when the rule started to really percolate, when this new catch rule had been really started to get talked about. The NFL Competition Committee at the owners' meetings have talked about changing this.
As of this morning, they have the votes.
And that's the conversation now. Because amongst all of the – and I think a lot of people don't – when you talk about the rule changes, the Rules Committee, the Competition Committee, any team can – I heard Brad Biggs talking with Molly and Hanley about this morning. Any team can bring a rule change to the table and offer it up for – subsequent examination and perhaps passing. But this is the only thing, it seems, that the NFL is going to get all of its constituents behind, right? I mean, there's maybe the anthem stuff. Maybe there's a change in how you, perform at, stand for, or don't stand for the anthem. I have no idea. But the catch thing seems to be what they're drawing at. And when we talk about the ratings in this game, right, you talk about people going away from football, maybe the level of competition changing some, maybe the product not being what you'd want it to see.
The league is terrible.
McDonough is talking about getting crap games on Monday Night Football walking away from that broadcast because, the matchups have been bad.
There's a lot of reasons for it, and I don't...
Of course there are.
I don't know if the politics have anything to do with it. I do know this. The league is terrible. The competition is terrible. The level of play is terrible. And then when you tell someone that you can't possibly understand what a catch is,
or make one,
or what,
or make one. I mean, listen, if the league is crap, and then you're going to make it harder for teams
right.
to do the
right.
thing.
You have bad
the only competition, the only advantage in football is throwing the ball down the field, getting big. Look at the offenses that work in this league. Finally, in Kansas City, you get Alex Smith to throw the ball more than 7 yards downfield.
Still a bad idea.
Still a bad idea, but it seems to work a little bit. That's your. Now you're going to make catches harder.
Yeah,
you're going to make the thing that's exciting to watch hard.
You make a good point. Bad players have a hard enough time as it is catching the football, and now you've made and that rule makes it all that much. But you tell fans you don't know what a catch is. You're watching a game. You have no idea what a catch is. And then even if you see a great catch, which you know to be a great catch, you don't even move. You don't cheer. You don't get off your couch. You don't do anything. You just sit there because you go, well, I know it's going to be replayed, so I'll wait 5 minutes, and then I'll go, oh, okay, that's probably the greatest catch I've ever seen. But that's your reaction because it happened 5 minutes ago, and you knew it was going to be replayed or reviewed, so why even bother? So you tell people, you don't know what a catch is, which is fine. Nobody else does. The refs don't. The players don't. The coaches don't. The announcers don't.
You just hope.
Mike Pereira doesn't. So you have that. Then you don't know what a hit is. What's a legal hit? Players don't know. Announcers don't know. The refs don't know.
No, they find out on Tuesday when the FedEx envelope comes.
Nobody knows. Nobody knows. So, it's an unwatchable product. I have to go. I am forced to go. It is a mind-numbing, pride-swallowing siege from the minute I get up in the morning, drive in traffic, park, walk in.
So the worst place to have to drive to in this town.
It's
impossible.
Yeah, as Yogi Berra said, you can't get there from here, and it's misery. The NFL doesn't want us there. Okay, in fact, they don't want you there as a fan either. They don't need anybody. They have their TV money. Go away. You're just annoying them. And they make sure you know it as a fan or a media person, whatever. They make sure you know it from the minute you get there to the minute you leave. You are just in the damn way. Okay? Would you just leave or just not show up? You serve no purpose. We got our TV money. Don't come to the games. We don't have enough bathrooms for you anyway. We don't have enough beer for you. Don't come to the games. So, and it. There's no reason to. I mean, you sit at home. You got your nice TV.
You can watch all the games you want.
You can watch every game.
When one game gets really bad, you can go to the other game that's not so bad.
Since your team averages 3 wins a year, you could actually watch a team that wins games if you prefer that. But you're only watching most likely because you bet on the games, and this way you can watch all the different games that you've bet on. And you have a bathroom right there waiting.
Hopefully. Otherwise, you've done your NFL Sunday wrong.
Yeah.
Just waiting at your own bathroom.
And the beer is much cheaper. But the whole experience is bad. And if they can make the catch thing a little easier for everybody, that wouldn't be a bad thing.
He is Barry Rosner. I'm Connor McKnight. Time for an update here on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Thank you, Mark. I'm Connor McKnight. He's Barry Rosner. Barry in for Dan this afternoon. And up until Thursday, we'll take you all the way to opening day in Major League Baseball. Dan's in Italy and eating in restaurants that look more like bathrooms than I care to imagine. Dan was showing us some of the pictures of restaurants that he wants to go to in Italy. What I need to know is about your vacation, this vacation that I'll probably never take, have never yeah. taken, probably yeah. will never take.
Tell us about all the places you've been to
all
and all the places
foods that you'll eat, all the wonderful things that you'll be doing.
Going to go to, yeah, mm-hmm. all the things that none of us will
live
ever
vicariously.
See.
Yes. Yeah. It's the music Dan's listening to, I'm sure, while he's eating in whatever Italian city he's visiting.
On the
fine arts. And he's showing us pictures that look like the tiles, like a subway restaurant, a subway bathroom. It looks like he's walked into a rest stop. Just off 9094, and that's where he's being served this delicious meal. It's very, very strange. I know it's a little bit different over there. However it happens.
On the other hand, if you're Dan's family, you have to be with Dan. So, yeah, there's the great trip, You know, there's Italy, and where else are they going? He told me weren't they going through Istanbul?
Istanbul, yeah. They've got about 6 hours in Istanbul.
Okay.
Lots you can do there.
Well.
Here's the best. Dan and
they
I,
don't like Jews very much there, so probably good that they're only,
the 6 hour thing.
Only passing through. But if you're in Italy, it sounds great, but you got to be with Dan. I mean, if you're his family and you're with Dan, how great a trip is that, really?
Dan did mention, actually, on Friday that perhaps one of the greatest things about this trip for him to Italy is that his family may leave him there. They'll come back. Dan will be in Italy. He'll get what he wants. His family maybe gets what they want. We talked about this, Dan and I.
And we all get what we want in America without Dan Bernstein.
Underrated part of the exchange there as the Bernsteins go to Italy. They'll be back next week, but we'll take you up to baseball. Sahadev Sharma of The Athletic going to join us just after the break. The Cubs have made some interesting decisions on leadoff men and backup catchers. That's where we'll go with Sahadev next. He's Barry Rosner. I'm Connor McKnight. This is 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You know the voice. That's Joe Maddon, manager of the Chicago Cubs, talking about the decision to keep Victor Caratini on the roster. Let's talk a little Cubs. Opening day just a few days away. You got the Bernstein and McKnight show here on 670 The Score. Barry Rosner in for Dan. Good place to have you as well. We'll head out to the phone line. Sahadev Sharma in Florida with the Cubs. He writes at The Athletic. He is at Sahadev Sharma on Twitter. Hi, Sahadev. How you feeling, man?
Hey, gentlemen. Nice to talk to you. Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure. The decision on the back end of the roster has been an interesting one so far, but I want to start at the top of this lineup where Ian Happ has been, if not anointed the leadoff guy, certainly given an opportunity to be there and stick there. Ian Happ is not a dude that I was as high on as many coming into last season, and even at parts during last season. He's certainly taken all spring to tell me to shove it, pretty much. I wonder what you think of the guy and how he fits the leadoff spot and whether the Cubs really will have one dude up there the whole time.
Yeah, well, it's funny that you describe it like that because I think I was on the same page as you. I wasn't as high on him. Got some iffy reports from scouts outside the Cubs organization, and I think he's one of those guys that you hear about. We hear about it every now and then. Scouts outside an org see one thing, but other people who work with him understand that this guy has the baseball smarts and the workaholic type. Makeup that he will cover up those holes that you're seeing, and he's willing to work. And that sounds exactly like what he's done. He's really put in a lot of work, fixed his swing, covered up those holes. And it sounds like he's coming into this season even better than last year. There were a lot of ways to get him out from the right side. And I believe, it sounds like he's done a great job to minimize those issues and he's in for a big season. As far as him at the top, I love the way Jed Hoyer put it. He kind of looked at the leadoff spot as a way to win an everyday job almost. He was basically going to be a part-time player. But you have a performance like that and a hole at the top of the lineup and a guy like him could do a great job filling it. Power, he's got speed. I think that's something that we sometimes fail to realize with him. He used to be maybe a seven runner, but back in college, and I believe he had a sports hernia early in his college career, so it took a tick off his speed, but he's still a plus runner. So he's a guy that, you know, if he can reduce those strikeouts, that's going to be quite the package right there up at the top. Speed, power, and just a terrifying offense at the top there.
How do you think Maddon will platoon these guys? If there is a platoon at all, Happ is more of a low ball hitter, Almora more of a high ball hitter. You think Joe will play matchups? Will they use analytics to determine some of this? How do you think this will all play out?
Sure. Part of you bring up the high ball, low ball part. Part of what Ian Happ wanted to fix was being able to catch up to that high fastball and either lay off it or hit the ones in the zone. And I was talking to Andy Haynes, and he really believes he's going to be able to hit those high fastballs now. But as far as how Joe's going to make it work, yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of playing matchups. I think, you know, those tough righties, you'll see Almora sitting. Lefties, you'll see Hayward possibly sitting. I think the biggest thing here is how is Hayward going to perform and how long of a leash is Joe going to give him? Because that's going to be Joe Madden's toughest decision, I think. If Hayward continues to struggle on offense, and Hap, Almora, Schwarber are all performing well, and even Zobrist is performing well, well, what do you do? Do you sit? Do you start sitting Hayward a lot more than what we expected? And at what point do you make that decision?
I mean, at this point, you have enough evidence, right, on Hayward?
Sure. No, I agree, but I also think that he's the type of guy that you don't that you give a little longer leash. You know, he's the consummate professional. He works his butt off. He's well respected. You don't want to just bench him, you know, 2 weeks into the season. I think he's going to get a longer leash, and I think you give him that opportunity, unless it's really costing you games. You know, unless there's the rest of the offense is struggling. But he's also, you look at this lineup, you can kind of hide him if you're winning enough games and if you're scoring runs and everybody's doing their job. If he's struggling on offense, you can hide him. I think that's true. But I also think there's too many guys on this team that I expect to perform on offense and be good enough on defense and do all the other things that Joe Madden wants to see, that it's going to be, there's going to come a point that if Hayward doesn't start hitting, everything else he brings to the table, it's going to be outweighed by what someone that's being sat would bring to the table.
Well, at a certain point, we're talking with Sahadev Sharma here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. The Athletic is where you can find Sahadev's work, and on Twitter at Sahadev Sharma. At some point, the Cubs have to make a decision about one of the largest expenditures they've made in this era, right? There is, like you said, there's an ability to hide him because everyone else around him, talking about Hayward, everyone else around him is good. If that's not the case, and specifically early on, then there's a bit of a, there's pride that's got to be absorbed here at some point, right? And I wonder if that's going to be solely Joe's decision, if that's going to be something that you've got to massage over with Jason Hayward. I mean, he's taken the lead in a lot of situations in the clubhouse, and yet I wonder if he's willing and able to understand that his time may be short.
Yeah, you know, I think he, if it gets to that point, yes, he'll understand that. And I think if there's any manager that can handle this situation, it's Madden. He's proven that he can massage these difficult situations. Sometimes you have to have those tough talks, and he can handle that. It's just, I'm just curious what that point is. How early is it going to be? If he's not performing, you have to make that decision, especially when you have guys like Hap, Elmore, and Schwarber that will, if they continue to progress, that they're going to deserve playing time.
Do you worry at all about Almora's ability to process all this? I mean, you were there. I was there at the end of the season last year. We asked him about whether he thought he should be playing every day. And as any confident player, he said, of course, I should be playing every day, and sure, I want to play every day. And for my money, he's earned that opportunity. It's obviously not going to happen. What's his mindset going into this year now that Hap seems to be in a position to get most of the playing time?
Yeah, I think, you know, he's looking at it as he's kind of still in that young part of his career where he is just going to do what he's told type of thing. Yeah. He's not going to cause any waves. He's not at a point where he's going to demand playing time, especially when the team's winning. I think these guys all understand wins are the bottom line and they're happy if they're winning. I think, you know, a guy that kind of in comparison, Mike Montgomery, you know, he thinks he should be a starter. They have the similar attitude that as long as we're winning and I'm playing some sort of role, I'm happy to fill that role and keep racking up wins and playoff appearances and contend for a World Series. If they start to struggle and Elmore is still not getting a lot of playing time, then yeah, I think guys start to rumble a little bit and wonder, hey, where I can help this team more. Let me play more. It all comes back to Hayward right there. So if Hayward's not performing and Almora isn't getting the playing time that he thinks he deserves, yeah, there's probably going to be some frustration there. But you also have to remember that everyone in that clubhouse respects Jason Hayward, looks at him and says, this guy works his butt off, and they expect better things to happen, and nobody's going to call out Jason Hayward and say, how dare you? Just because he's too well respected in that clubhouse, he's not a guy that's going to complain about things. He's not a guy that if he sits, if they decide he has to sit, he's not going to make a big stink about it. So vice versa, I don't think. I think they look at that, and he's kind of the example to all of them, all the younger guys, and they know how to go about their business. And as long as they're winning, I don't expect anybody to be complaining about playing time.
So, Sahadev, Victor Caratini comes to the Cubs in the heralded deadline 2014 deal that sent Emilio Bonifacio and James Russell to the Braves. Caratini comes back. In order to have a successful rebuild, obviously you win World Series and do that kind of thing, but you also have to have players hit from smaller trades like this every now and again. I was surprised Caratini was given a spot on the club, mostly because the Cubs have so often deferred to more playing time for prospects like that over having a big league job, but you know, trying to battle to find spots. Albert Almora accepted. We're just talking about him, though. Who is Victor Caratini? How have you seen him develop, and how do you think the Cubs figure to develop him, given this chance, given that Wellington Castillo is going to be the guy there?
I think you talk about who he is. When I talk to scouts outside the organization, they say, yeah, he's a nice catcher, and in the long run, they see him as a really high-quality backup. And if that's the case, if that's how the Cubs see it too, then maybe this is a perfect scenario to develop him, because what are you going to be doing? He's going to be sitting on the bench every 5 out of 7 games, talking to Mike Borzello, talking to Jim Hickey, going over situational things and hearing what they think, how to handle a situation, how to call a game. He's going to be sitting in those in-between starts for pitchers when they have those game planning meetings. He'll be sitting with all those guys, going over that, learning the scouting reports, learning how to handle a pitcher. I think it may be that, this is the perfect way to develop him. They obviously know what they're doing as far as that goes, and if they decide they need a veteran back there, they still have Jimenez in the minors. I think he's also, Caratini's a switch hitter, so it gives them more options there. He can play first base if you want to have him be the backup for Rizzo. Not that Rizzo's going to sit much more than, a dozen games. So, I think they see it as an opportunity to develop him in another way, rather than just give him all those at bat, which, maybe he's kind of learned all that he can in AAA. There's certainly, if they left the window open, if they feel that he's missing out on development and he does need more at bats and they're not finding time for him, yeah, they're going to make a switch, especially if they believe they just need that veteran presence. But right now, I think they just felt like this was the best way to win early on. This is what makes their team strongest. And it was easy enough because it wasn't something where you had at least a veteran like Jimenez, because they like having that option. Certainly, I mean, it's why when they got rid of Montero, they were a little concerned, because pitchers like to have that veteran catcher every now and then to kind of lean on.
Sahadev, appreciate you hopping on. Thanks so much. I'm sure we'll talk to you as the season goes on.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
You got it. Sahadev Sharma of The Athletic. And, of course, Barry, this is my White Sox bias coming out, right? Spent 2 years covering the White Sox. Of course, I am not living in 2010, though sometimes I wish I did. Not Wellington Castillo as the starter for the Cubs behind the plate. It is, of course, Wilson Contreras. Mea culpa. Mea maxima culpa.
Almost the same thing.
Almost.
I'm guessing you may have heard from someone via the text line.
Not yet. My texts have actually stopped working. The internet has stopped for me, apparently, on this computer.
That can be
reload this.
That can be a very good thing.
I should see the silver lining in this cloud, is what you're telling me.
I would say let it be stuck and shut off forever.
I'm sure that now that I've made that little faux pas, that small mistake, that inexcusable error,
also
the text lines have blown up.
Tweet,
but deservedly so. Oh, I said the wrong
also
guy.
Also tweet Connor McKnight and tell him.
Yeah, at C1 McKnight. That's where you tell me how much of a loser and how much of an idiot I am.
He's stupid.
You can join in the fun.
I have great respect for Jason Hayward, and obviously the players in that clubhouse do. I mean, they adore him. And he's a professional. Obviously brings much defensively and on the bases, but you are getting to a point here where, your love as a management team or as a manager for Ben Zobrist or Jason Hayward shouldn't take precedence anymore over the playing time of Schwarber, who should play every day, and Almora, who should play every day, and Happ, who appears to, at this point, need to play every day, when you already have Baez, who needs to play every day. This is about who's going to be ready for the postseason and winning games in the postseason, and I'm an Almora guy, have been for a long time, and I just don't see how he's going to get to the point you want him to be at if you don't give him those at-bats against right-handers, who he hits hard, by the way, if not always successfully.
As much as the Cubs are in their window of competition, there is a little bit of a transition phase going on right now within that locker room and on the field. I want to get to exactly what that may look like over this coming season next. We come back after the noon. The segment was brought to you by Fogo de Show. Taste the difference of skilled gaucho chefs at Fogo de Show Brazilian Steakhouse, where every cut is expertly prepared. Reserve today in Chicago, Rosemont, and Naperville at Fogo.com. A little more Cubs talk with Barry Rosner and Connor McKnight here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show, 670 The Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.